It's an extraordinary scene. I've seen nothing like it in my life. It's quite surreal and looks almost like something from another world. The mud now covers 6 villages across 30 square kilometres. If you stand on a bridge over the tollway, you see it. A lake of mud stretching for kilometre after kilometre. And a white plume of hot gas is spewing out from a crack in the earth where it all started, where the drilling accident took place. And a toxic smell fills the air. It's hard to breathe even when you're wearing a mask. And you can count the rooftops floating in the mud, and you can see the rooftops of factories, which are 7 metres high. All you can see is their roofs. And in some places, the mud is 10 metres deep.
Rebecca, they still can't stop or contain this mud. Is there a race against time before the rainy season?
That's right. They're working against time. The rainy season usually starts late September, and already dams that are containing the mud are bursting. So experts say with the monsoon rains, they'll break in a matter of hours and could spread the mud across a much wider area. I visited a school that was below one of the dams, and there's no doubt that once the rain started, that school would be submerged in the mud and hot water. The Indonesian president has given 6 weeks today to the Indonesian company responsible, Lapindo, to build a massive dam, a much larger, stronger dam, but it's a race against time.
What's happening with the thousands of people who've lost their land and houses and schools?
That's right. This is a human tragedy as well as an environmental tragedy. Most of them are now living in refugee camps. There's 9,000 people in what was once a market where I visited in Porong. They're very traumatised and angry. One man that I met in his 70s, he was with 18 members of his family, and his land, rich rice paddy land that has been in the family for literally generations, is now submerged by the toxic mud.
My family is large, 18 people. What are they going to do now? If I think about that, I just can't go on. The vice president said that this is Lapindo's mistake. The government is not responsible, but Lapindo is. Lapindo said they will pay for this. But where is the money now? If the government was good, they would look after their people. All I want is justice.
You mentioned the Indonesian government and Lapindo. Who else is responsible for paying for this?
Well, the company Lapindo, the Indonesian government says, is solely responsible for this disaster. It was their drilling mistake, so therefore they have to pay for everything, the emergency effort, also compensation to the victims, and also money for the victims so they can live and eat in the meantime. The government, in a sense, has washed its hands of this, although they were the ones who gave a license for Lapindo to drill in such a highly populated area. And Lapindo has said it will take full responsibility for this and is paying so far for all the work that is being done to try and stop the mud. They're saying they've already put out $70 million. But interestingly, Lapindo comes under the Bakri family group company, an extremely wealthy company, and one member of the family, a senior member of the family, Abu Rizal Bakri, is the country's welfare minister. So that is causing a very political scandal in Indonesia, but so far he has not been held responsible. Also, of course, you have Santos, the Australian company, which has a stake in this site. But so far also Santos has said the responsibility lies with the Indonesian company Lapindo, who are operators on that site.
Staying on the environmental theme, there are frequently forest fires around this time of the year. What is the impact this year of forest fires blazing in Sumatra and Indonesian parts of Borneo?
Well, a thick haze from the fires has covered cities in Sumatra and West Kalimantan. Airports have been closed, and residents say they're having health hazards, trouble breathing, they have to wear masks. Also, there's been complaints from Malaysia Singapore, Brunei and Thailand, who are frequently affected by these forest fires that seem to happen every year.
As we said, these happen every year. What's behind them?
Well, the Indonesian government says that they're caused by farmers who are burning off their land to make crops. And they have outlawed the practice of open field burning. That was in 1999. But Greenpeace and Wali say it's a much different case. They are saying that logging and plantation companies are really involved in these forest fires. It's not individual farmers, but big corporations. And they've named more than 100 companies and put the names out to the press. These include timber estates, palm oil plantations, and they say that they're involved, and they've given those names to the police to investigate, and they're also lobbying the Indonesian parliament to make sure these people are held responsible. They say this is not individual farmers, but a much widespread action by our corporations.